so good. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 1. The words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priests that were in the land of Benjamin. Next verse. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Amon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. You can go ahead and be seated. I can preach right there, because we know, if you've read your Bible any length of time at all, you know on down what the Bible talks about. Before I knew you, before I formed you, I knew you. We know that part. But if we don't understand the frame, what good is a text without a context? If we don't understand this part, then we kind of miss some of the importance of the other part. And this was when King Josiah was in reign. He spoke to him in his 13th year. If you don't know anything about King Josiah, he was a good dude. He did what was right. And so when the king would do what was right, he received the blessings of God. When he got the blessings of God, everything went good. So this priest, Jeremiah, gets a call from God. And he gets a call in a good time. Who needs a prophet in the good times? Who needs a prophet? Because when you read the prophecies, they were usually warnings, call to repentance. But everything is going good now, and that's when he gets his call. First of all, I want you to understand that he was a priest, that God called to be a prophet. And just because you are where you are right now doesn't mean that God doesn't want to call you to something else. Amen? Just because you've been in this place, because let me tell you what we love. We love comfort. I remember as a young man, our pastor, I'd been preaching for years, and he said, I want you to start leading some services. And I said, oh, no, I don't want to lead a service. And he made us lead services. I was comfortable at that time preaching. I still got nervous. Still do get nervous. I mean, you come up here and look at all of y'all staring at me right now. By the way, I want to pause and say, it is so good to see Kenneth and Donna here today. Amen. Amen. That is so awesome. We hadn't seen him in a long time. It is so good to see him here. Amen. I'd get nervous still, but he said, I want you to lead the service. And I was horrible at it. I wasn't good at it at all. All I knew how to do was preach. So to lead a service, I just preached. Between every song, I preached. I'd say something, yell something. And then one day I decided we're going to change service today, and we're going to do it all out of order. That was the worst thing I could have thought to do. Because we get used to the order of the service, and everybody knows how it's supposed to go. You mess with that, and people are looking at each other like, what are we doing? This ain't how this goes. And that scared me, because sometimes I think we get so comfortable knowing the way the service should go. You know what? Maybe one Sunday we just need to come in here and sit without singing a song and wait, and just wait on God. Just sit and wait on God and see what happens. We ought to be all out of sorts. We wouldn't know what to do. He told me that. He put me in that place, and he said, one of these days, Damon, he said, you're going to have to lead a service and do the preaching and do all that, so I want to get you ready for it. And he was right. Got into a place where I was leading a service, preaching, doing a lot of stuff, until one guy told me, he said, this church is too much you. I said, you got a point there. And then God started sending people. Jeremiah's in this place where he knows what it is to be a priest. He's got that down. But then God calls him to become a prophet. And when he does that, if you know your scripture very well, Jeremiah doesn't do well with this. He says, I can't speak to those people. I can't do that. I can't. There's no way that I can do that. Well, let's read it. Then the word of the Lord came unto me saying, verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And I then said I. You see that? Then said I. I want y'all to see this. You there, Shane? Verse 6. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. I've had that happen. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out, to pull down, and to destroy, and to throw down, to build, and to plant. That's a lot to do right there. You got to root out, tear down, build up. I think Brother Eddie said it like this. The job of a preacher is to comfort those that are discomforted and to discomfort those that are comforted. It's your job to stir up the people that are comfortable, and it's your job to put at comfort those that need rest. The problem is figuring out who's who. Because I think some people need rest, and I think some people are just lazy and trying to figure out which one's which, who needs stirred up and who really needs rest. You need the Lord. He said, but here's your strength. The problem is, Sam, we don't consider our strength sometimes. Standing, man, can I just break down my armor and just and be honest with you? I'm standing back in the back of the church, and I'm watching these little kids go by. And as I'm watching these kids go by, listen, I pray for your kids. I pray that somehow we can produce something here that puts the word of God in them, that when they leave this church, it's not just an experience or an entertainment, but somehow we get God's word planted deep in their heart so that they might not sin against God. Because when you have the word of God in your heart, then they won't sin. They will find their way through. Can you say amen? So I pray that out of the Sunday school and the children's church and all that we do, I'm praying, God, put your word in their heart, your true word. Not a version of the gospel, the real gospel. Not a version of the truth, but the real truth. Not just an idea of what religion is, but Lord, a relationship with you. Build that. And as I'm standing there watching them go by, the devil, as sure, devil showed up at church today and he spoke to me as sure as we're standing there, and he said, you're not going to be able to help them. You're having a hard enough time getting this through to your own family. How are you going to help them when you can't help your own daughter right now? And as I stood there and listened, there was something that rose up in me, and I've got to say this, the devil is a liar. Not only is he a liar, he's the father of every lie. He's a liar from the beginning. He can't tell the truth, and it's not about me. It's about the strength that I've got in God. It's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by the Spirit, says the Lord. When God calls you, he calls you for a purpose. The enemy's job is to make you feel like that God called you because you were adequate. God called you because you were sharp enough. God called you for this reason or that reason. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. He didn't see anything in you but sin. He told Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you, I knew you. Can I take a minute? God exists in eternity. Time was created for us. Do you understand that God never gets in a hurry? You know why he don't get in a hurry? Because he's not getting old. Sometimes, Brother Eddie, as I get older, I realize I don't have as much time as I used to have. It's why you got to watch old people. Because old people don't fool around with you. You want to know the truth? Ask an old person. Because they don't have time. They'll just tell you how it is, and they won't even look back to see how you felt about it. Because they know they're running out of time. There are things that I will say to you now that I wouldn't say to you in my early ministry. Because I thought we had more time. Well, let's pray about it. Let's pray about it. Preacher, what do you think about it? Don't do it. Just don't do it. It's the goofiest thing you ever thought in your life. Stop. Just tell them. God doesn't get in a hurry. God doesn't rush. They're singing up here, I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I'm going to wait on you. I don't know how many times they said it. It was a lot. I'm going to wait on you, Jesus. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait on you. I'm going to wait. Do you ever get in those times when you're waiting on him and you're like, God, I really don't want to wait on you, Jesus. I want you to hurry up now. Man, is there any way you could speed this up? God doesn't get in a hurry. Because sometimes we're looking at the crisis and God is looking at our calling. Sometimes we look at what we're going through and God's looking at what he's taking us through to get us where we're going. What are you saying? I'm saying Jeremiah was called in a peaceful time. He was called in a good time. God wasn't calling him for the spot he was in. He was calling him for the spot he was taking him to. So if God is calling you, and this may not be for everybody, but if God is calling you, you need to answer the call. When God calls, it's amazing. One preacher said it like this. I found this an interesting concept. I will share it with you. You can mull it around in your mind, think about it. Tell me what you think later. But he said, if God knew you before he formed you, you were born in sin. We were all born into sin. We didn't understand the relationship that God had with us in eternity. Let me tell you this. God does some things in eternity before there was ever time. Can I back that up? Jesus was a lamb slain before the foundation of the earth. So before there was a timeline, before there was matter, before there was time, before there was space, before there was any of that, there was a lamb that was going to be slain before the foundation of the world. Let me say it like this. Jesus was the answer before there ever was a question. Because God deals in eternity. I see this scripture so different now. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same. Amen? Moses said, God, who am I going to tell you? Sent me. Who sent me? He said, I am that I am. What does that mean? That means yesterday doesn't change God. Today doesn't change God. Tomorrow doesn't change God. I hope you're listening. What does that mean? That means that he's the same yesterday. I can't go back to yesterday. All I can do is right now. I can't step into the future right now. But God exists in eternity. So because he exists in eternity, he can touch things now that has happened to me 20 years ago and still make it all right because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. God can change some things in me right now that'll affect things 30 years from now because he's the same. But we deal with watches and we deal with clocks and we deal with calendars and we deal with planners, and Tracy deals with stickers and all kinds of stuff with planners. She got the prettiest planner I've ever seen. People say, hey, can you do this? I said, let me ask Tracy. I need to ask her because I think I just wing my whole life. I know there's a couple of places I need to be. I need to be at work so I can eat, because that's Bible. Come on, come on, that's Bible. Go ahead. I need to be at work, and I need to be at church, and I need to see Sophie. Those things need to happen. So when I talk to Tracy, she's got this, I mean, man, y'all ought to see it. There's like stickers for everything. Do y'all, any of y'all ladies got one of those planners like that? Hey man, a couple of you? Stickers for this and stickers for that and stickers for this. I'm over there. I bought a planner. I wrote it in like 3 days. That's it. The rest of the year is blank. We deal with time, though. We deal with time. How many people go to work and don't look at the clock? And the reason you don't look at the clock is you feel like it goes faster if you don't know? Anybody? Man, I'm telling you right now, I'm driving a rock truck for 10 hours a day. And this one truck, the clock don't work in it, and I thank God for it. Because that other one, I'm going to give me some IMSA tape. Put over that clock. I just want to know when it's time to go. We deal with, God doesn't do that. You know God's never going, sure, I need to hurry. He never does that. Because God knows the end from the beginning. So here's the concept. Before he formed you, he knew you. Before your mama ever got swollen feet. Before your mama ever started craving pickles and hicks around here, I've heard of people eating coal. Matches. Did you say matches? Man, craving all kinds of. Before that ever happened, God knew you. Before he formed you, he knew you. Are y'all with me? Do y'all believe this? Do I need to back it up with more scripture? Do we need to go New Testament? Will that help you out? Let's do it. I want to help you. I want you to understand this. Because, man, this gets really good. Romans 8:29. For whom he did foreknow. That means knew before. Before. This is what it means to be lost. You can't be lost if you don't belong to somebody. Can I say that again? The Creator created you. The reason you're lost is you're separated from the Creator. He created you. All life comes from God. Let me say that again. All life comes from God. That's why it's such a horrible thing what goes on when, oh man, leave it alone. No, don't leave it alone. It's amazing to me that bacteria on Mars represents life, but a heartbeat don't. Our society is backwards, and it's messed up, and it's crooked because what we are rebelling against is the Creator God. Sin is sin, and sin separates you. Sin breaks fellowship with God. Sin is sin. We're going beyond that, and we're starting to do abominations over and over and over because we're not just rebelling against the rules. We're rebelling against the very nature of the Creator. What are you talking about, preacher? Why are you preaching on this? Because I want you to realize how valuable your life is. So, at the right time, God calls you. He calls you. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Listen to what that's saying. He did foreknow. I don't care what the situation was. Nobody in this room was an accident. Everybody in this room got their life because the Creator gave us life. Can you say amen? Amen. So them he did before know, knew before. He did predestine, predetermine, predestine. When you become a Christian, when you surrender your life to Jesus, there are some things that are going to happen to you. If you are a true believer in Jesus, if you have been born again, there are some things that are predetermined to happen to you. Can I get an amen? He did also to be conformed to the image of his son. If you are a Christian, if you are a Christian, if you are a believer, if you are born again, then you should be looking more like Jesus every day. You should be conforming to the image of the Son. Be not conformed to this world. I don't want to look like this world. I don't want to walk like this world. I don't want to talk like this world. I want to look like Jesus, talk like Jesus, walk like Jesus, to be conformed to the image of his Son. Next verse. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. He called you. And whom he called, them also he justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Oh, you do you see what is in store for you? Here's what's interesting. When he called me, and somebody be a witness, maybe when he called me, there was something recognizable in his voice. I don't know about you, but when God called me, Ian, I knew it was God. Anybody? I didn't negotiate. Is this Buddha? Is this Muhammad? Who is this calling me? I knew who it was that was calling me. Tristan, the other day when you came to the altar, there was something talking to you, wasn't it? And you didn't doubt what it was. You knew what it was. Why? Because, oh man, when that voice comes through, he's the one that created you. And let me tell you how God creates, by his word. Let me say it like this. It's God that spoke you into existence in the first place. So when you heard his call, you recognize that voice because he is your creator. Oh, glory. Oh, can I say? In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of man. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness comprehends it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He was not that light, but he came to bear witness of the light. It's the word that created. It's the word that spoke you into existence. And that same word that spoke you into existence called you out of that darkness into the light. It's the same word. So you got a choice. I don't know when it happened with you. I remember very well when it happened to me, but I'm just bopping along. And all of a sudden, I got a call. Now look here, you got a choice when you get there. I know y'all seen this, but you ain't never heard it preached, have you? I seen your eye, oh Lord. When the call comes and you know it's him, I want to tell you, you've got the option. You can either accept it or you can decline it. And listen really close. By making no choice at all, you're making a choice. I've looked at people right in the eye and said, are you a Christian? I don't know. If you say you don't know, you ain't. Let me say that again. If you don't know you've been born again, you haven't. Because when you have an experience with this God that I'm talking about, you know it. Old things pass away. All things become new. You know it. You know it. So God called you. Anybody, did God call you? He called you out of sin. He called you out of darkness. He called you out of, man, good to see you. I'm not sure I know you, but you're fun to preach to. He called you. What? You don't think God's got your number? He's got a whole book in the Bible called Numbers. God knows at the time to call you. And you recognize that. When you recognize that, Sam, we got to understand that God doesn't abandon the called. The calling and election of God is without repentance. But here's the problem. The problem is other people got your number. Amen. There's some other people out there. Who could it be? Oh, somebody else called. You think when you surrender to the first call that the devil ain't gonna keep calling? Anybody in here been saved under a year? Raise your hand. Under a year. Under one year. Oh, you my guy. Let me help you out right here. He didn't lose your number. And none of his little agents did either. They're gonna keep calling you. Hey Tristan, what are you doing this weekend? Hey Tristan, but I wish you could hear it for what it is. They sound innocent, but behind it, it's hey Tristan. There's a devil driving that phone call. Can I get an amen? There's an enemy driving that phone call. And you get the same option. Are you going to accept it? Are you going to decline it? I want to pray for you right now that you got power every time he calls to hit decline. That's not me anymore. That ain't me anymore. I don't go that way anymore. I don't walk that way anymore. I don't talk that way anymore. I don't drink that anymore. I don't sort that anymore. I don't smoke that anymore. That's not me. That's not me. Because I got another call. Because I got another call, I walk a different walk. I'm walking to the beat of a different drum. There is a calling. And when he calls you for a purpose. I've said this, and I'll keep saying it. You can learn a lot sitting on a church pew, especially in here. But you are never going to accomplish anything sitting on a church pew. I go to church. Oh, yeah? You don't think the devil knows you go to church? I'm very selective, very careful. We got to be very careful who we put on this platform to sing to you. You know why? Not just so that, I better leave it alone. We put them there and we're careful because Paul said it's not good for us to leave the word and go serve. He said, choose you out men full of the Holy Ghost to go serve tables. I mean, to serve tables, you need the Holy Ghost. Some of you waiters or waitresses say amen. To serve tables, you need to be filled with the Spirit. That's right, because when you serve, you bless. When you bless, you get a target on your back.
You think the enemy don't see? You don't think that, I'm telling you, you don't think when you preach God's word and you begin to bless the saints that the enemy don't take notice and try everything in his arsenal to stop you from preaching? I'm glad to know it's too late now. Though I live, though I die, I got a calling, and my calling is greater than my crisis. It don't matter what comes against me. Though all hell assail me, I shall not be moved. You don't think if you preach long enough, the devil ain't going to try to take your voice? Keep preaching. Keep preaching. It'll get stronger. Keep preaching. I don't know what in the world, sound like Mickey Rooney or something. Keep singing. Keep playing. Keep studying. Keep moving. The devil said, I'm going to kill you. Don't threaten me with heaven. The devil said, I'll take this from you. It ain't mine anyway. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm going to give you a twist on this real quick. I'm going to let you go. Job said that. So, Mike, we always think that that means the Lord gives us good stuff and he takes the good stuff too. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Though that is true. God can take whatever he wants from you. If he needs to prune you, you better accept the pruning. Preach it. That's good preaching. Because pruning hurts. There's some things in your life that need to be cut off. Obey God and cut it off. Where you at? There's my new convert. You got me? Cut it off. Decline it. Decline it. No, sir. No way. Cut it off. But not only does he do that, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He giveth life. He taketh away death. He giveth joy and he takes away sorrow. He gives beauty and he takes away ashes. He gives you a song and he takes away your sorrow. What's that you got in your hand? I don't have nothing, Lord. Bring it to me. Bring it to me. But I don't have anything. That's what I want. I want a nothing because I'm the creator. And I can take your nothing and turn it into something. Can I get an amen? Has God ever took you from nothing to something through his word and his promise and his spirit? Well, you ought to just clap your hands and thank him. Oh, God is so good. Ain't he good? So good. All the time. So he called you. Come on. So he called you. I don't know where you was at when he called you. I know where I was at because he called me quite a few times. But the voice of God, somehow, I recognized it was God's voice. You know what's awesome? Is he don't stop calling. You ever had a friend that stops calling you? Does that hurt? We had this lesson in Sunday school. I'm going to go ahead and throw this out there. I think it hurts women more than it hurts men. Because it'll be 2 years and they're like, hey, you know what? I haven't heard from that guy. About 2 years. Women see each other at Walmart. She didn't call me last week. I ain't even talking to her. I don't know what her problem is. Tell you something about God. He don't stop calling. We go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Jeremiah, I know you're a priest, but I'm getting ready to call you to be a prophet. I'm good. I can't talk to those people. I can kill their lambs. I can do whatever else you need me to do, but I can't be talking to those people. As a matter of fact, there came a point he said, I'm done. I'm not even going to make mention of his name anymore. But there was something inside of him that began to burn. And he said, it's like fire. Shut up in my bones. You know what, Mike? I've done learn. I couldn't quit if I tried. There was a time in my life when we had a preaching rotation, and I asked him to take me off of it. Take me out of the rotation. I'm good. I preach enough. Just take me out of the rotation. I'd go to church. I'd listen to people preach. Brother Eddie, I'm going to use your line because I use all your stuff anyway. By the way, you're a hit on the strip job. I use all your jokes on the strip job. Man, they love it. They eat it up. I told that guy the other day that we were so poor when we were kids, we had to put food stamps in our penny loafers, and man, he lost it. I learned that from Eddie. All of Eddie's jokes work on the strip. I'm going to use what Brother Eddie taught me a long time ago. Man, he put some stuff in you. It's why, you know what you need to do? You need to find an elder in your life. And not a sissy elder. And don't make your buddy your elder. You can be buddies with your elder. That's fine. But don't find somebody that's like you. Because I don't know, can I tell him, Eddie? I don't know if y'all know this or not, but Eddie rebukes me from time to time. I've sat down at his kitchen table and he's let me have it. Have I ever let you have it? Yeah, it just all just keeps flowing. Pass it on through. Freely have I received, freely shall I give. I'll tell you what Brother Eddie taught me another time. Because, man, if you got a call, if God's been calling you to step up, to step out, today I want you to answer that call. I know he called you out of sin, but he didn't call you to be a self-centered religionist. If you're here today and you're lost, don't walk out of here lost. Surrender right now. Just say, you know what? I'm going to surrender right now. I'm going to get it done right now. Because, listen, I want to give you this warning, and then I'm giving my altar call, and we're going. Every knee is going to bow. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. That's going to happen. So you can either bow on this side and confess it, or you'll bow on that side when it's too late. I don't know about you, but I don't want my sins following me. I want them going before me. So when I get there, they're already taken care of. If God is dealing with your heart on any level, would you step out? If you need to pray at the altar, if you need us to pray with you, if you say, God, I know God's dealing with me to do more than I'm doing, will you pray with me that he reveals to me what that is? Would you help me pray that God would speak and speak clearly so that I understand his voice? I want to know. I want to know that it's him. I don't want it to be me. Would you step out? Would you step out and would you be numbered? Is that you? Is that you?
Created from dust.